Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. I am Brad Brood, the host of the show. Join alongside my co-host each and every week, Blake Friars. Good to have you with us, Blake.
Yep, thanks for having me. Not the best of time for my team, but your Flames look pretty good.
I mean it's a long season.
Other than the Buffalo game, we got embarrassed by Buffalo too. So
that's a weird game. I want to talk a little bit about Buffalo later on. Kind of an interesting team. Probably, I probably got a little bit of karma because I ripped on them so hard this summer that they made me look like a dumbass.
Well, they're getting goaltending that I don't think can be sustainable.
Nope, it's not. Right now. I agree.
So, I mean, Eric Comrie's great, but he's not .975 save percentage good. And Craig Anderson's not going to have a .950 save all year. So, I mean.
But they're fast.
They're winning some games right now. They're a quick team. They got a two-headed monster on the back end with Power and Dahlin. And, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Did you get snow today?
We did get snow. You?
Yeah.
I went outside.
Nothing that stayed on the ground, but I am freezing today. I have been freezing cold all day long.
So I had a massage at one today, and I got in my car, and I was like, my handles were frozen shut. I'm just like, what is going on? So I had to go to the garage, get a tool to like chip the ice away. I was like, it's too early for this shit.
Yeah, it's all going to melt. It's going to be decent to the end of the week, but
there's still snow on the ground. It snowed a little bit, but it's still there.
Yeah, ours didn't stay. Ours came mostly in the form of rain,
which is worse.
No, we need it. We need rain.
But when snow and rain
cold. It's not icy now. It's just damp and cold outside. Just really, really damp and cold. Got a question for you.
Yeah.
Montreal rookie.
Yep.
The guy that
Arbor Jack guy.
Okay. I got a question though. I got a question for you. I got
taking a league by storm.
I got a theory. I have a theory for this. I have a theory. Okay, his first name's Arbor. And his last name is spelled XHEKAJ. Mm-hmm. Which I've looked at it a million times, and in no way do I see how it spells out Jack-Eye. But I guarantee you, about 2 years ago when he was making his way up in the hockey world, he thought, you know what? I think it would sound really cool if my last name was Jack-Eye. And listen to me, and no one can argue with me because my name is spelled so freaking goofy that nobody can argue with me.
Your name?
No, this guy. What are you talking about?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You're okay. I got you.
You get what I'm saying? Do I need to redo this for you, Blake, today?
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
I think he just did it. I think he just said, hey, this sounds damn cool. I'm doing it.
Well, he scored his first NHL goal, and he beat the wheels off Zach Cassian in the same week. So he's loving life right now.
Yeah, he's got a long ways to go. But I love seeing him kick the living crap out of Cassian. Was well worth it.
If one of those guys, like, that's who you need though. If you're building a team, you need like a diamond in the rough guy to become big guy for you. You know what I mean? Like, if he becomes a top four, not saying he's going to be a top two, but if he becomes a solid top four guy, like that's big for Montreal's future because they already got Caden Gooley on the back end too.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, like Calgary drafted Rasmus Anderson and he's stepping into a much higher
role. He is a second round pick though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Andrew Mangiapane, how's that one sound? Is that a better example?
Yeah. There you go. So, I mean,
are you a big video game guy?
Watching a lot of hockey. So
are you a big video game guy? Good.
A little bit. Why?
Tell me about this NHL 23. Do you have it?
Yeah, I do. It's a love-hate relationship.
Is it better? Is it bad. Better?
Yeah, it's probably the best one they've had since probably 14. It's been a run of pretty shit games. So.
I don't know. The last hockey video game I played was NHL 94.
On the old Sega?
What?
On the Sega?
Yeah. That's the last gaming console I had.
Perfect.
I still have it.
Nice.
Yeah. And then before that was Blades of Steel.
Can't say I've ever heard of that before.
That was
way before my time.
That was the real deal. Speaking of your time, we're talking about Vancouver today to start the show off, and after we get done dissecting their disaster embarrassment of the season and figuring out what they could do or what they should do to right the wheels on the track. Then we'll go around the NHL, talk about reverse retros 2.0, some key injuries. Darlene emerges, and who's in charge of the Toronto Maple Leafs? Is their coach really in charge? All right, your Vancouver Canucks. I don't even know what to describe this. Embarrassment, I guess, is a good word, right?
Saturday night was embarrassment. I don't like to play the what-if game, but
you can't.
The way they've been playing offensively gives me some hope. They're scoring enough goals to win. They were getting timely saves last year. They're not getting them early this year. Their penalty kill is a disaster. Their power play is a disaster, which was 10th in the league last year, and they got the same personnel. Obviously, Hughes' injury is big. He's week to week now. It's a completely different decor when he's not in the lineup.
I think it's much bigger.
Huge part of the team.
I agree. I think it's much bigger.
But what I'm saying is the first five starts for Thatcher Demko, he's let in a few goals where I'm like, what's going on here?
Well,
I'm the biggest Demko fan there is. His save percentage right now is 845, I believe. Nowhere near good enough to be winning hockey games. He needs to be a little better.
I saw needs to be a lot. I saw a statistic today that was interesting. An early season statistic, obviously. He's the second worst goalie to start the year.
Yeah, minus 2.6 saves. Yeah, I saw.
No, this is different. Yeah. It said five games played, he's allowed 21 goals. His expected goals against is 14.98, and he's allowed 21, which is a minus 6.
That's saying that that 14 should have went in out of 21.
Yeah, and he let in 21.
So there's,
he's -6. There's only one other goalie worse right now. And that's Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, it's Marc-Andre Fleury. Yeah, no, he hasn't been good. And, that was a big, piece of last year, right? Demko kind of saved the day and hid the flaws in the defense, and they're getting that right now and showing. But you could say, should the Canucks have won? Maybe deserve to win a couple on that road trip. Sure. I mean, they had a 3-0 lead in Edmonton. Hold on, they had a 3-0 lead in Edmonton. You take all these penalties. You don't get a timely save here and there. I mean. They were trending in the right direction the last two games. They lost back-to-back games in overtime, and then they come out in the home opener, and it was a train wreck. I mean, it was a 2-1 game going into the third period, and it looked like they just stopped playing. And, I mean, it was just an onslaught. I mean, you would think, like, a team with zero wins, home opener, games 2-1, like, you would think there would be more there. I don't know. It's frustrating right now as a fan. I don't know. It's a lot to unpack.
They started their season in Edmonton with a 5-3 loss, a game they were leading 3-0. And then they followed it up with a loss in Philly, 3-2, and they had a 2-0 lead there. They lost to Capitals 6-4, and they had a 2-goal lead, I believe, in that one.
4-2 lead.
4-2 yep, lead, yeah.
Lost 6-4.
And then in Columbus, they lost 4-3, and they had a
2-0
lead. 2-0 lead in that one. And then in Minnesota, they had a 4-3.
4-2 lead. 4-2 lead.
No, it was end of the game. 4-3. So they had a 3-2
lead. No, they had a 3-2 lead. 3-2 yep. Going in the third.
So they dropped 5 straight games where they had leads, which I believe is an all-time NHL record, correct?
Yep, unfortunately.
Not one you want to have, but.
So, but like that being said, like. Here's how I look at it. The Canucks right now, the whole Western Conference is struggling right now. You look at Nashville, you look at Minnesota, you look at Edmonton to an extent, they're 2-3. Like, the Canucks are 2 points out of a playoff spot right now. If they win today, they're 2 points out of a playoff spot.
This team, we got a lot to talk about.
The overreaction from the media is a little ridiculous.
What are you talking about? You were overreacting too.
Yeah, it's like being funny. It's just difference.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about this. So here's a couple things that, you know what, their record isn't devastating to me right now.
It's the thing about their start. It's not even that they're losing. It's the way they're losing. They're leading in most of the games they've played. If they were losing, if they were going out and losing like they were every game on, like they did on Saturday, okay, I'd be like, what the hell is going on? They're not losing every game 6-1, 5-1, 6-0. They're 1-goal games.
I know, I'm with you. I understand that. But you know what? Here's the problem though, Blake. To make the playoffs now, Elliot Friedman was talking about this morning. If for Vancouver to turn this around, which is possible, but they would almost have to go at about a 110-point clip to make the playoffs now.
Like I said, they're 2 points out of a playoff spot. Like, I don't know. It's a big overreaction. Give them 15 games. Give them 10 more games, and we'll see where this team's at.
Okay, let me ask you a couple questions about this one. Because I agree with you. The way they've lost is far exacerbated the problem. But yep. Here's my fear. JT Miller has been a joke. He was on the ice for the first 8 goals scored against this team.
He's been on the ice for 14 goals.
Yeah. And what scares me more is he's having confrontations with other players on the team. And that can happen. Yeah, well, I do.
That happens all the time. It's just this one got caught on camera, though.
No, it happens all the time. I understand that. But if you're building a strong locker room, that doesn't happen to a true leader. It doesn't happen to a true leader.
Who even knows what that's about, though? It's not like, I don't know. I feel like that got blown a little out of proportion.
Well, are you making excuses or are you... So you feel like things are good in the room because I don't. Your captain doesn't have a contract, so he doesn't know where he stands. JT Miller thinks he's the captain now because he's got the big money, but he's been dog doo-doo the whole start of the season. He's calling out the defense when the defense is a problem, but the offense is part of the defense.
The offense isn't a problem, though.
But the offense has
a problem all year.
Blake, you're a hockey guy. Good defense.
Yes.
Good defense.
Yeah, as a five-man unit, man.
And you're not getting it from your guys.
Five of the 6 games, they've scored enough goals to win, yes or no?
Yeah, for sure.
If you score 4 goals, you should be winning a hockey game.
Yep, but then you're...
Plain and simple.
I know, but then your forwards need to be better defensively, too.
This 100%.
This isn't the run-and-gun league anymore.
And so Boudreaux went into his bag, Miller's on the wing tonight. They got him with Horvat, so they're trying to get Horvat going. Horvat's been good.
I think he's been fine.
His wingers that he has, like, even like the last 4 years, it's just been like Pearson doesn't do much for me. Blake, I hate to say it, Besser, Besser isn't doing much for me right now.
No, but he didn't in the last three years. You told me this top nine was elite.
I think I like the top nine. I do. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to like with their top nine.
So Bruce Boudreau is going to take the hit on this, isn't he?
I mean, what is that going to do? What does that change? Nothing.
No.
A new coach is not going to change it. This is not on Boudreau. This is on the management. They knew their problem.
No, this is on the players.
They knew their problem. They knew the problem. And they still didn't address it. They didn't address the defense, and that is the biggest glaring hole on this team.
Blake, how many times have we went through this? What were they supposed to do with the defense? Teams aren't lining up saying, hey, Vancouver, we got top four demons for you.
Yes, I understand. Jim Benning handcuffed this team significantly. I understand that. But, like, right now, they're playing Guillaume Brisebois in their top four today. Like, there's just no depth. No depth signings.
You have no depth in the organization. For years.
I know. And then you went and signed
Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and you made all these bad signings.
No, that was a trade.
Okay, well, you acquired a bad contract.
Yep.
To exacerbate the problem you have. You like that? I've used that word twice already with the guy.
Yeah, the thing is, Benning made a swing for the fences trade and it blew up in his face. They could have had all that money coming off the books this past summer and to do whatever they wanted. They would have $13-14 million of cap space to use to sign players, and they used it for Garland and Ekman-Larsson instead. It's a big mistake. It's a big mistake.
So let me ask.
It's a trade that's going to set them back probably 4 years.
Let me ask you this question. And I'm being truthful on this. So, like, the Calgary Flames, for a lot of years, I kept saying that this core won't win. And they went through coach and then another coach with the same core, and it's like same results. Right? Now the core is all gone.
They didn't have the players in their original roles. Like, Monahan's not a number one center. Backlund's not a number two center.
I understand that, but I'm talking about the room.
Look what they've done, though. They got Lindholm in center number one, Kadri number two, and Backlund number three.
Yeah.
Everybody's in their roles now.
Yes, but they didn't have that even last year, and they were successful. But I'm telling you right now, this is a room deal. This is a problem. Well,
they also
in
got a coach that everybody loves to play for. And to an extent, I think they like playing for Bruce. I think he's a player's coach.
What's not to like about Bruce Boudreau? Yeah. I mean, I'm not a player that's played for him, but I know that I have never heard a player say they hated Bruce Boudreau. Have you?
No.
I haven't. But he's going to take the hit on this. They fired a coach last year, and this team is in a hole further now than they were last year. There's a problem.
That's not true. Hold on. Timeout. Last year they were 7-16 when they fired Travis Green. Let's not just be comparing that. It's been six games.
Okay, but I'll bet you money right now they have not a better record.
You know, if they go and lose five straight, sure. Yeah. But they're
already on the road. They're past that now.
But
okay, well they're playing Carolina tonight. I hate to break the bad news. Carolina's one of the best teams.
We'll see what kind of team they are, because if they come out and have the same effort like they did against Buffalo, they're going to lose 9-0. That's just the facts.
Probably.
Carolina's a Stanley Cup contender. Me and you both picked him to be in the Cup.
We did, yeah.
So what
needs to happen? Do you think Pedersen's the right guy for this team?
Pedersen's been the Canucks' best player.
That's
the least of the Canucks' worries. He's got 7 points.
I'm not talking about just points, Blake. Do these guys want to win, or do they just want to be hockey players?
I hope so. I mean, that would be pretty embarrassing if they didn't.
Well, there's a lot of teams.
Isn't that every organization's goal?
For sure. But I think there is a lot of players in the National Hockey League, just like in every other professional sport, that care on a different level.
Sure.
And just like in life, just like in life with other, with everything.
But to answer your question, how do the Canucks turn this around? It starts with their special teams. Special teams wins you and loses you hockey games. And right now their penalty kill is about 50% and their power play, I think, is about 8. That's not going to cut it. You got to at least be over 100 combined. Mm-hmm. You got to be at least 100 combined. Whether that's 80% and 20% or 85 and 15, you got to be at least, they're clicking at like 58% combined.
Yeah.
You're just not going to win many games. No, you're just not. And their power play, there's so much talent on there. It's just like, they're just trying to be too cute. They're trying to make the perfect play. When you're losing like this and you get a power play, just start throwing shit on net. Like, there's too much passing. The penalty kill, they can't win the first faceoff of the penalty kill and they get scored on within the first 15-30 seconds every penalty kill, it seems. So, I don't know. So, pretty annoyed at the start, but I'm not just hitting the panic button because, like I said, the wave they've lost.
What do you make of the jerseys hitting the ice?
I've always said this. Those aren't real fans. I mean, if you're going to throw your jersey on, like, those aren't real fans. No diehard fan's going to throw the jersey on the ice. They're just not. Don't matter how frustrated you are. Those are fake fans. That's my opinion.
I agree.
I believe that's probably yours too.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't associate myself with those people. I just think it's a bunch of bullshit.
Do you think it helps? Do you think it helps motivate the team in a weird way?
I don't think the players care. Like JT Miller said, I mean, if they want to throw their shit on the ice, go ahead. I got a job to do, and I'm focused on doing that. Like, the media asking Miller and Horvat, like, they're not going to give you any answers. They don't care about that.
You know,
would you? I wouldn't.
I wouldn't
you
care.
You know your job okay, is I to go out there and care, produce.
I wouldn't care about the gesture itself. But I think there's you're something wrong with you though. If at some point you're not sitting in your stall going, "Holy crap!" Like this.
Well,
is
well
a train
like
wreck.
Bruce Boudreau said, you gotta look. I told the players to look in the mirror. That's what you gotta do.
Is Rutherford gonna make a panic decision here?
He said he's not. Did you listen to his after hours?
I thought it was very
interesting for him to open up with saying they had a bad camp. It's kind of a shot at Brucey Boudreau. No?
I think it's a shot at the players. Time out.
But then he went into the structure again and doubled down
You also got to look at this too, Blake. Your management group is such a stupid management group there that they hired the coach before.
Hold on. They just cleaned house.
They hired the coach before the GM.
Yeah, but Rutherford had an idea of they were hiring Boudreau.
Still not his hire.
Sure.
And that is not a smart way of doing it. And you even said that back then. You can't put the cart before the horse. And I think that puts Rutherford in a difficult situation, and I think it puts Boudreau in a difficult situation. And I'm betting you anything right now, Boudreau takes a freaking fault on this one. And if I was him, I'd go out of Vancouver with my middle finger in the air.
If you're firing Bruce Boudreau,
who's
a better option? A better option? Barry Trotz?
Could not agree more, Blake. But here's the deal.
If they brought in Barry Trotz,
doesn't change
anything. And the goal was to, we're going to sacrifice offense and we're going to play. But that's kind of what Travis Green did. You're not as good as Trotz, but Green was a defense first. We're going to sacrifice the offense. Like, that didn't work. So like Trotz has a track record of that shit. I understand, but like it didn't work with the same players.
I don't think Trotz is going there. Number one, but the number two is, I don't think Vancouver management will pay. They're paying Green this
three
year.
Three coaches?
Yeah, they're not doing that. They're not doing that.
No, Bruce Boudreau is going to be here the whole year, whether they're 0-82 or they make the playoffs.
I agree. And I think
he's there the whole year.
I think he should be.
Yes. He does. Like, it's on Bruce Boudreaux. This is on the players and everybody.
I think this is a group effort.
Sorry, my blood pressure's through the roof right now, but I'm saying it how it is.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I don't know that this team will turn it around this year, though.
We'll see. I mean,
I could be totally wrong.
St. Louis turned it around after Christmas.
I know, but that's a once in a freaking 100
years. That's a miracle story, but hey, you win today, you go into Seattle, and you win that game, all of a sudden you're 2-4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the sky's not falling. Why the sky's falling right now is beyond me, because like I said,
you're in Vancouver.
You gotta at least give the team 15 to 20 games. It's an 82 game season.
You're in
See, you can't be hitting that panic button after six games.
That's your market.
Like, man. I understand the market. I understand. They're passionate fans, and I get the market, but it's six games.
I know. Yeah, tell your market that. They've made it hard. Your fan base has made this harder.
Yeah. The fans want to win.
I love that.
They haven't.
But
I don't think there's a fan base in hockey that wants to win as much as Vancouver.
I disagree. I think there's a lot of
maybe Toronto. Maybe Toronto.
No, I think Edmonton and I think Calgary and I think Winnipeg and I think Minnesota.
But they've been starving for consistency. Here's the problem. The problem that Vancouver Canucks fans have is from 2000 to 2014, they were one of the most consistent NHL teams in the league. Consistently in the playoffs, consistently up there in offense, consistently up there in penalty kill and power play, goals for that elite goaltending. And now from 2014 on, they made the playoffs just once and it was in a COVID year. They're frustrated. Yep. And I get it.
I agree.
I mean, you go from your team guaranteed to make the playoffs to this. It's like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Now this is your second management. It's your second president, second GM in the, like, something's got to give here. Yep. Some's got to give.
We'll just keep
doing this vicious cycle.
We'll see what happens tonight with a difficult, difficult battle with the Carolina Hurricanes. It is in Vancouver, and that is a bright spot. We'll see how the Canucks react to that. All right, Blake, let's go around the league. We got a lot of different things to talk about, some really cool things. And let's start it off right away with some reverse retro stuff. And let me change the screen here so that we can see what the heck we're talking about. Here's all the reverse retro jerseys. And let's go through them. I mean, we're not going to talk about every single one, but I want to get your take on...
Let's do this. Let's go division by division and our group by group and name the best and the worst.
No, because I don't have them broken up by divisions. Let's just go across the screen. You can see the screen. I can see the screen. The listeners can see the screen. The listeners can't. The viewers can. But we'll describe. Okay, let's just look. Okay, you like the Florida one?
I do, but I get Atlanta Thrashers vibes.
I don't like it. Where does the baby blue fit in?
I don't know. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not sure.
I don't get that one. Montreal got the baby blue too. I don't get it. And boy.
It's a homage to the Expos. It's cool. It's different.
It's cool. Okay. Well, then have some different striping maybe.
Yeah. But I mean, it's pretty cool. Detroit trash.
Ugly.
Garbage. Now Calgary's, this got a lot of unnecessary hate. They used to have that stripe like that back in the day, and they brought. I like it. I like the white logo. This is a great jersey. I like this jersey a lot.
I know. I'm not a black fan.
You don't like Blasty.
No, don't like Blasty. I like this better than Blasty.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I don't hate this one. But I surely can't say that I like it.
This is a retro though. Like this is, they wore this in the 80s.
Well, no, they wore this in the 90s. That striping design was through the 90s. 92 to 90 or 2001 or something.
Yeah.
Edmonton.
Edmonton's is really nice. I like this logo.
I've always liked the oil drop.
They modernized. So before, it was just, instead of the orange, it was just gray. So they brought in the modern colors. It used to just be a navy, white, and gray jersey.
I wish they did the regular blue, though. This navy they keep doing is not right.
This navy works, though. This navy works. It's a good jersey. I like it.
Winnipeg's.
It's
like, I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's fine.
Nah, it just doesn't do much for me.
Tampa Bay.
I love that logo. I think that's their best logo, to be honest.
That's their first logo.
That's the 04 logo.
That's their first logo.
I don't love like the waves and the lightning bolts.
Hate it.
Whatever that is I'm not a fan of that. Could have gone without. Toronto's, it's the same as last year.
Yeah.
It's like their same logo.
Yeah, they don't change anything.
I don't know.
Anaheim, I really like that Anaheim jersey.
Yep, it's like the old Mighty Ducks logo with the new, it's like what's it called?
Striping.
It's like Edmonton's with the modern day colors.
Buffalo's. That is not good.
Love the logo. It's just boring. It looks like a practice jersey.
Boston, this is a jersey they wore in the 90s.
It's cut off, which is a tragedy. That Pooh logo is pretty cool.
I don't know.
I love the bear claws on the sides and at the bottom. It's a pretty cool jersey.
Nashville's is god awful.
It's the old logo. Like, there just needs to be more there.
Ugly color. The St. Louis Blues one, and I love what St. Louis usually does with their jerseys. Not a fan at all.
No,
I don't
want. Not a fan of Arizona's, shocker. I don't know what the hell that is.
That is ugly. That is so typical Arizona, though.
Minnesota North Star. Oh, Minnesota North Star.
I like that Minnesota one.
It's basically the last reverse retro, but reverse. It's green this time.
Yeah, I like it. I wish that was their jersey.
Dallas, same thing. Last time they had white. This time they have black. I like it. Vancouver's is a really cool jersey.
I like the Vancouver one. That might be my favorite.
Johnny Canuck, like, you know, and they got it so bad with that last reverse retro. It was awful. This is a retro to the 70s or maybe even, yeah, 70s. They wore this in 70s. And I'm not a big number on the shoulder guy, but
it looks fine on this one.
That's what it looked like. I went and looked up that jersey. That's what it did. So they hit it out of the park. One of my favorites.
Yeah, it is probably my favorite of all of them. Seattle? Garbage.
How does Seattle get a reverse retro?
Well, they have to.
Don't you guys be in the league for a few years? No, I don't know. It's
brutal.
They should have used their third logo, like the anchor or whatever. I don't know.
The Sharks went with the old Sharks. Golden Seals colors.
Seals, yeah.
Not a fan.
I don't know. The Canes, like, I swear that I've seen that jersey before.
Well, it's almost the same thing now. They have their white jerseys, almost the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, what? I don't know.
Colorado's is, you know what? Here's what I'm going to say about Colorado's. I don't like it.
Who is that team?
Still Colorado Rockies. The colors and the inside of the logo of the Colorado Rockies. But here's my problem with it.
Like, you're talking the baseball team?
No, the Colorado Rockies was the hockey team that moved to New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's true. Did not know that.
They used to have like a mountain. It was like a mountain, and that C was in the middle of the blue mountain. That was their logo. Mm. But I don't hate it. And you know what? Honestly, I'm just going to let them off the hook here because their jersey they came out with for the stadium game was so god awful that you know what?
Yeah,
this is such a bright spot to that I'll give them an okay grade. As for the Chicago one next to it, garbage.
It's like Detroit's. What is going on here?
They just got together and thought, let's just be as dumb as we can.
It's just like copy my homework, but just change a couple things.
Washington's is a playback to
Washington's is iconic.
It's not like iconic. That logo. It's from the 90s, but I mean, it's
no. Okay. But it's like the
Jaromir Jagr,
Screaming Eagle.
Yeah.
Jagr, Peter Bondra vibes.
So Peter Bondra wore more of the old logo before that, which to me was really cool. Yes.
Oh, okay. Olaf Kolzik then.
Yes, Olaf Kolzik. I'll give you 100%. Now the New York Rangers, I love that logo. I always have loved that logo.
You know what? You know what player I think of when I see this logo?
Who?
Merrick Malik when he went through his legs and did the listed Statue of Liberty celly.
Yeah.
That's
I like great. That. The Columbus Blue Jackets, I have no comment. That is awful.
But it's like I don't know, man.
Where's the baby blue?
There's
keep
no red
coming
in there. There's no red.
I don't know. I don't particularly
logo sticks out like a
I don't particularly care for the Ottawa one. I don't hate it though either.
It's just it looks like their home jersey.
Yeah.
Vegas is just copying Vancouver and Calgary with their colors.
Vegas, I will give Vegas credit that it's not as god awful as what they could have come up with. Let's put it that way.
I guess.
I don't mind the Pittsburgh one.
I'm not a big vertical letter guy.
I'm not either. I used to like it. I don't anymore. I look at it this way. Hockey jerseys are cool because we have logos on the front. Put a logo.
Like the Capitals, like their vertical is okay because it's at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like the where it's diagonal. But
it's an accent more.
Rust.
You know.
Pittsburgh, that is Jaromir Jagr written all over it. That's an iconic logo. It's cool as shit. I like that jersey a lot.
I like that one. Philly, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we've seen that before.
White. I don't know. Kings.
I love it. I love the purple and gold.
It is amazing. It is amazing. Best, probably one of the best jerseys.
Yep, I love it. Now here's the New Jersey Devils. Now that's the Colorado Rockies colors.
Yeah, what is up? I
noticed
that.
They moved from Colorado to New Jersey. Don't like it though, because it doesn't go with, it doesn't even match their freaking logo. I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Islanders, I don't know. I never hated that logo, but I'm not an Islanders fan, but I never hated that logo.
Yeah.
I think it got a bad rap.
The old fisherman logo.
Yeah, it's Stan Fischler. Have you ever noticed that? You know who Stan Fischler is, don't you? The guy that does their play-by-play.
And he
writes a ton of hockey books. It looks just like him.
I'll have to look him up.
It looks just like him. I don't mind that logo. I don't. I know everybody hates it, though, but I don't mind that one. So I don't know. I don't know if I like all these reverse retro and us having new logos every... I don't know.
But they had that was the COVID year they came out with that stuff.
Yeah, but they only used them for a couple games. But now this year we have
they're wearing them seven games.
Now we have home jerseys, away jerseys, third jerseys, and reverse retro jerseys this year.
Okay, but have you noticed that teams are wearing white at home?
No.
Like I've seen it three times already.
Well, that's good.
The Kings did it. The Sharks did it.
Good.
And
I think they should do it every game.
I can't remember. Oh, I want to say it was Detroit.
I know you have to get permission from the league to do it.
It's good. I like it. I wish it was like that. Let's change it back.
It's the way it used to be, man. It's great.
Yeah.
All right. Key injuries. Aaron Ekblad, Florida. Defenseman long-term. He is dealing with a grade 2 groin strain out long-term, it sounds. And then
not good.
Gabriel Landeskog.
Tough luck for him. He got injured last year, too.
Colorado Avalanche captain Gabriel Landeskog underwent arthroscopic knee surgery on Tuesday in Minnesota. He's expected to miss 12 weeks.
Yeah, that's his second.
I know.
That's his second knee injury in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
Like back-to-back years, he's gone out of the. I believe it's the same knee, too.
Is it? I'm not sure on that one.
I might be wrong, but if it's both knees, that's even worse. I think I'd rather have the same knee operated on than both of them.
I don't know, because I don't know how an operation handles two times, though. That's an would be a good question for a doctor though, because I see where you're coming from.
But you know what I mean? Like if you have both your knees operated on, it's like
but holy if you have shit. A but if you have a wheel that keeps going bad,
yeah,
that's not good. That's not good.
Not good, no.
Jake Muzzin, Toronto defenseman, head injury week to week, and Capitals.
No, he's got neck.
Okay, connected to the head. Sorry,
but that's a big loss for them. Like that's one of their top guys.
And Capitals forward Connor Brown out long term lower body. Team announced Wednesday that they're going to be putting him on injured reserve, and he looks like it is going to require surgery. So,
what have you heard an update on Backstrom?
I have not. I've heard it's long term though. But I don't know anything further than that. Are they just burying Cap? No, I'm just joking.
No. I think he's got a back injury or something.
Yeah. Let's talk Rasmus Dahlin. Five games, a defenseman has scored in all five of his games. And he's the first defenseman in history to do that. And I've been critical of him, much like all the rest of the Buffalo team. And let's put it this way. I'm happy that he's doing well this year. Is this sustainable? No, none of this in Buffalo is. But I'm happy that he's doing well. And I'm happy the Buffalo Sabres are doing well. The league's a better place when Buffalo is doing well. Believe me, that market it's a great place to go to hockey.
That's another passionate fan base.
That's a really good
place. When they're good.
Yes.
When they're good.
You know what? They're there though, even when they're bad though. They sell a lot of tickets.
You know who stood out the most to me? I watched the Calgary Buffalo game. I watched the Buffalo Edmonton game and I watched the Vancouver Buffalo game. Man, how good has Tage Thompson been?
He's been really good.
Like that goal he scored against Calgary, I'm like, are you shitting me?
Yeah, he's been really, really, really
the one good. Timer on the power play, I was like, wow, like that's a Ovi type shot.
His move in tight against Edmonton was better.
Yeah.
The guy's been really good.
He's lived up to that pay.
Let's end this section with a little talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I don't know if you saw this, so I'll give you a rundown in the list.
No, I saw it. I got it.
Okay.
Yep.
2 days after pointing the finger at his team's elite players in the aftermath of a disappointing loss, Toronto Maple Leafs coach basically comes out with an apology and says, I used some of the wrong words in criticism of the Stars. And you know what this screamed to me, Blake?
It's
and he has a locker room. He
doesn't have much of a voice.
He has a locker room full of whiners. Whiners.
So do you think the players went up to Dubas and said, hey, like, he can't be saying, like, I don't think the players cared what he said. I think they got the message loud and clear. I think the message probably came from upper management, said like, hey, you probably shouldn't be saying that, but like, I didn't even see anything wrong with what he said. All he said is,
let me put it
Arizona doesn't have stars, and we have stars, and they didn't play like stars tonight. What's so bad about that?
Nothing. But that's what happens when you have a team full of whiners. I'm telling you something right now. Daryl Sutter says that.
I do his think team, they have a lot of ego, though.
His team shut up.
A lot of egos.
Okay, I'm telling you something. If Daryl Sutter says that, his team shuts up and plays hard. But if Sheldon Keefe says that, his team of overpaid prima donnas gets butthurt.
Yeah. Bruce Boudreau said something similar, too. He called the Canucks mentally weak. I didn't have a problem with that either, because it's true. They blow leads every game.
It's a true comment.
Of course they're mentally weak. They can't hold a fucking lead.
he's not lying.
He ain't wrong. He's hit the nail on the damn head.
Yeah. And you know what? Sometimes you gotta like suck it up and take a look in the mirror and be like, yeah, you know what? Our team is doing that. And yeah, we needed to be better. And here's how we're gonna get better. Instead of whining and crying all the time. I got a crazy Leaf fact. I saw this on the internet the other day and I thought, I'm gonna ask Blake in the show.
Since, is it the Arizona fact?
Yeah. Could you believe that? Since 2002, the Coyotes have managed to grab a point in every game they played in Toronto.
It's hard to believe. I mean, it's only one game a year, but I mean, that's that's a lot. That's what, 20 years without, 21 years without a win? It's almost as long as it's been since they won a playoff round.
No, they've got a point. I mean, like, they maybe lost.
Regulation win.
Yeah. Unreal. Yep. Unreal. All right. Time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Last week it was my turn to fire three questions at Blake, and he is returning the favor this week. Fire away.
When I say Phil Kessel, you think of what?
Overweight.
Come on. Seriously.
That is the first thing I think.
He actually looks pretty slim this year, Brad.
This year, yes. You know what, though? If you were sitting in the food court at Caesar's Palace.
he's crushing hot dogs.
No, and no, listen to me. Just listen to me. You're sitting in Caesar's Palace trying to figure out who you're going to bet on your sporting event. You look over and you see that guy sitting at the table next to you. You think.
I'm betting him for three shots tonight.
No, you're not. There's, and somebody said he plays for the, whatever team he plays for now. What does he play for now? Phil Kessel, Vegas. Yeah. You would say, get the hell out of town. There's no way that guy's a pro athlete. You'd say, well, is he a baseball player? That's what you'd say.
Isn't that crazy, though? That's the point I'm getting here.
You would say that, wouldn't you, Blake?
Phil Kessel is about to be the all-time Iron Man streak.
I know, it's because he's got a little bit of meat on his bones.
Isn't that crazy? So that's pretty impressive, like the longevity. 82 every single year.
For sure.
Phil's coming. He's going to be showing up every game. He'll be there.
I've seen him play lazy on about 40% of those games.
You got those beer league and the guy go, hey, I'm not sure who's showing up. Phil will be there though. Phil will be there.
Do you remember that Calgary overtime game 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was awful.
When Phil had the old stick on the legs.
He was just sucking for air.
And when Calgary scored, he was like, hell yeah, get me off the ice here. I've seen enough.
Crazy. Question two. Yep. Besides Vancouver, what team star is the most concerning?
That's a Minnesota probably.
Yeah, Fleury has not been good at all.
You know, if it wasn't Minnesota, I'd probably say the Islanders. I expected a little bit more from the Islanders. They can't score. They're not allowing many goals, but they can't score. Those would be the two major ones, though. We're still pretty early. We're going to get into that next week on the show, by the way.
When you first heard hockey in Australia, you thought of what?
I never have heard that.
Really?
Hockey in Australia.
Oh. Yeah, the NHL is looking into having games in Australia.
Oh, my God.
You didn't hear this?
No.
I thought you're a news guy.
I do. Follow it every night.
Breaking news on the pod. Breaking news on the pod. What's your thoughts?
I think it sounds like another idiotic move that the NHL would do. Why don't we make sure this league is sound, solid, and secure in Canada and in the U.S.? There you go. Breaking news.
Remember when I was talking about Vancouver can't win faceoffs on the penalty kill? 11 seconds into the PK, all 1-0 Carolina. It's just terrible.
Listener question, Jake Mitchell, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In a world of money grab hockey, what advertising gimmick do you hate the most?
The it has to be the automatic boards. It's like have you ever seen the one where it glitches and it just covers the whole screen? Like,
so I originally
thought. I don't mind the jersey patch. It's tiny. I don't mind the helmet stickers. It's whatever. The automatic boards is kind of just stupid.
I thought I was going to hate the helmet. It's okay. I thought I was going to hate the jersey ad. Now, as long as it doesn't get any bigger, I'm okay.
It's tiny.
The video ad board is absolutely ridiculous. And you want to know the dumbest part of the whole video thing? I'm watching the Calgary Carolina game on Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. I'm watching the Sportsnet feed, and everything they're putting on the boards is about Carolina. Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina.
I know. I saw that. Too.
They screwed up. Did you notice?
For both teams.
It changed. They do no,
that no. For both teams.
It changed in the second period. They were putting.
You
want to bet?
They do. I think they do both teams.
No, they don't. That was supposed
to be the Canucks game. They had Buffalo stuff during the Canucks game.
That was supposed to be the Carolina feeds board thing. They had to have programmed it wrong. Because I flipped over to the Carolina feed, you know, and they were freaking showing Canadian Tim Hortons and Canadian Tire. And that's not even in Carolina. Like that's crazy as all get up. I think it's funny we both said the same thing. Crazy. I don't know. We are back next Monday night. And next week I figured this, that we'd have enough games in where we can kind of talk about the teams that are surprising us in a positive way and the teams that are surprising us in a negative way. And I think that should be a lot of fun. So that's next Monday night, same place, same time, both Blake and I talking hockey for an hour. Check us out on debatehockey.com. You can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We're on all of them. We're back next Monday night talking hockey. Enjoy this week's hockey action. Connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.